Random House Audio presents The Lowland by Jhumpa Lahiri. Read for you by Sunil Malhotra.
Lascia che io torni al mio paese, sepolto nell'erba come in un mare caldo e passante.
Let me return to my hometown, entombed in grass, as in a warm and high sea.
Giorgio Bassani. Saluto a Roma.
Part 1. 1. East of the Tali Club, after Deshapran Sashmal Road splits in two, there is a small mosque. A turn leads to a quiet enclave, a warren of narrow lanes and modest middle-class homes. Once, within this enclave, there were two ponds, oblong, side by side. Behind them was a lowland spanning a few acres. After the monsoon, the ponds would rise so that the embankment built between them could not be seen. The lowland also filled with rain, 3 or 4 feet deep, the water remaining for a portion of the year. The flooded plain was thick with water hyacinth. The floating weed grew aggressively. Its leaves caused the surface to appear solid, green, in contrast to the blue of the sky. Simple huts stood here and there along the periphery. The poor waded in to forage for what was edible. In autumn, egrets arrived, their white feathers darkened by the city's soot, waiting motionless for their prey. In the humid climate of Calcutta, evaporation was slow. But eventually, the sun burned off most of the floodwater, exposing damp ground again. So many times, Subhash and Udayan had walked across the lowland. It was a shortcut to a field on the outskirts of the neighborhood where they went to play football, avoiding puddles, stepping over mats of hyacinth leaves that remained in place, breathing the dank air. Certain creatures laid eggs that were able to endure the dry season. Others survived by burying themselves in mud, simulating death, waiting for the return of rain. 2. They'd never set foot in the Tali Club. Like most people in the vicinity, they'd passed by its wooden gate, its brick walls, hundreds of times. Until the mid-40s, from behind the wall, their father used to watch horses racing around the track. He'd watched from the street, standing among the bettors and other spectators unable to afford a ticket or to enter the club's grounds. But after the Second World War, around the time Subhash and Udayan were born, the height of the wall was raised so that the public could no longer see in. Bismillah, the neighbor, worked as a caddy at the club. He was a Muslim who had stayed on in Taliganj after partition. For a few pesa, he sold them golf balls that had been lost or abandoned on the course. Some were sliced like a gash in one skin, revealing a pink, rubbery interior. At first, they hit the dimpled balls back and forth with sticks. Then, Bismillah also sold them a putting iron with a shaft that was slightly bent. A frustrated player had damaged it, striking it against a tree. Bismillah showed them how to lean forward, where to place their hands. Loosely determining the objective of the game, they dug holes in the dirt and tried to coax the balls in. Though a different iron was needed to drive the ball greater distances, they used the putter anyway. But golf wasn't like football or cricket, not a sport the brothers could satisfactorily improvise. In the dirt of the playing field, Bismillah scratched out a map of the Tali Club. He told them that closer to the clubhouse there was a swimming pool, stables, a tennis court, restaurants where tea was poured from silver pots, special rooms for billiards and bridge, gramophones playing music, bartenders in white coats who prepared drinks called Pink Lady and Gin Fizz. The club's management had recently put up more boundary walls to keep intruders away. But Bismillah said that there were still sections of wire fencing where one might enter, along the western edge. They waited until close to dusk, when the golfers headed off the course to avoid the mosquitoes and retreated to the clubhouse to drink their cocktails. They kept the plan to themselves, not mentioning it to other boys in the neighborhood. They walked to the mosque at their corner, its red and white minarets distinct from the surrounding buildings. They turned onto the main road carrying the putting iron and two empty kerosene tins. They crossed to the other side of Technician's studio. They headed toward the paddy fields where the Adi Ganga once flowed, where the British had once sailed boats to the delta. These days it was stagnant, lined with the settlements of Hindus who'd fled from Dhaka, from Rajshahi, from Chittagong, a displaced population that Calcutta accommodated but ignored. Since partition, a decade ago, they had overwhelmed parts of Taliganj, the way monsoon rain obscured the lowland. Some of the government workers had received homes in the exchange program, but most were refugees, arriving in waves, stripped of their ancestral land. A rapid trickle, then a flood. Subhash and Udayan remembered them. A grim procession, a human herd. A few bundles on their heads, infants strapped to parents' chests. They made shelters of canvas or thatch, walls of woven bamboo. They lived without sanitation, without electricity, in shanties next to garbage heaps, in any available space. They were the reason the Adi Ganga, on the banks of which the Tali Club stood, was now a sewer canal for southwest Calcutta. They were the reason for the club's additional walls. Subhash and Udayan found no wire fencing. They stopped at a spot where the wall was low enough to scale. They were wearing shorts. Their pockets were stuffed with golf balls. Bishmala said they would find plenty more inside the club, where the balls lay on the ground alongside the pods that fell from tamarind trees. Udayan flung the putting iron over the wall, then one of the kerosene tins. Standing on the remaining tin would give Subhash enough leverage to make it over. But Udayan was a few inches shorter in those days.
"Lace your fingers," Udayan said.
Subhash brought his hands together. He felt the weight of his brother's foot, the worn sole of his sandal, then his whole body bearing down for an instant. Quickly, Udayan hoisted himself up. He straddled the wall.
"Should I stand guard on this side while you explore?" Subhash asked him. "What fun would that be?" "What do you see?" "Come see for yourself."
Subhash nudged the kerosene tin closer to the wall. He stepped onto it, feeling the hollow structure wobble beneath him.
"Let's go, Subhash."
Udayan readjusted himself, dropping down so that only his fingertips were visible. Then he released his hands and fell. Subhash could hear him breathing hard from the effort.
"You're all right?" "Of course. Now you."
Subhash gripped the wall with his hands, hugging it to his chest, scraping his knees. As usual, he was uncertain whether he was more frustrated by Udayan's daring or with himself for his lack of it. Subhash was 13, older by 15 months, but he had no sense of himself without Udayan. From his earliest memories, at every point, his brother was there. Suddenly, they were no longer in Taliganj. They could hear the traffic continuing down the street, but could no longer see it. They were surrounded by massive cannonball trees and eucalyptus, bottle brush and frangipani. Subhash had never seen such grass, as uniform as a carpet, unfurled over sloping contours of earth, undulating like dunes in a desert or gentle dips and swells in a sea. It was shorn so finely on the putting green that it felt like moss when he pressed against it. The ground below was as smooth as a scalp, the grass appearing a shade lighter there. He had not seen so many egrets in one place, flying off when he came too close. The trees threw afternoon shadows on the lawn. Their smooth limbs divided when he looked up at them, like the forbidden zones of a woman.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?